Tonight I'd like to invite you over to the book of Romans, chapter 5 this time, verse 1. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 reads this way. It says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne. Lord, we thank you again for the privilege of gathering together as your people, as your church. And Lord, we're reminded that where two or three are gathered in your name, that you are in our very midst. And so, Lord, we thank you for that. And we ask for the blessing of the Holy Spirit to guide us into your truths tonight, and that we might worship you in truth and spirit, that ultimately, Lord, you might be glorified and our lives blessed and drawn closer to you, and that we might grow in your grace and in the faith that you've given to us. Bless your word tonight. Bless your people. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message tonight is Peace with God. Peace with God. What does it mean to have peace with God? Does it mean salvation? Amen. Means salvation, but does it stop there? Is that the end of the peace with God? Okay, you're saved. You're on your own. Hope you make it. Amen. That's not the message God gives to his people. Is peace without God only what we think it is or what we think it does? And let me ask you this, does it include what God thinks? Sometimes we have our own ideas of what the peace of God is, and we forget about what God thinks peace is. In fact, what God says peace is. Is it possible to think we have peace with God? I think a lot of believers think, well, I'm saved, I must have the peace of God. Well, you've made peace through God, and you do obtain the peace of God. But is there more than what's in our minds? And is it possible that we might be missing what God is trying to communicate to his church, to his people? I want to remind you here that as we consider the book of Romans, it is written to believers. Does it apply to the lost? Absolutely. But is there something that God is trying to communicate for his people to understand? We think of the disciples, and during the Lord's earthly ministry for some 3.5 years, did they understand the Lord completely while they were walking with him? No, there's many things that they didn't understand, and God was in their very, very presence. Let me ask you this, though. Were they learning more about what God was saying and understanding as they walked with him? And did they understand even to a greater degree their relationship with God after the resurrection? Absolutely. Listen, God wants us. That's why you find in the epistles of Paul, which are written by the Holy Spirit through Paul, that you might and that we might grow in the grace and the faith that God has given to us. If we ever get to this place where we think, well, you know, I mean, I've passed the second grade in the Lord, and so I don't need to repeat it. Oh, listen, the walk of faith is a moment by moment. It's not like we graduate the second grade and we know now what 2 + 2 is. Listen, we need to walk with the Lord moment by moment. And there's many hymnals that talk about that, because it is easy as a saved child of God to forget what God has given to us, because we've got this old nature, this old man that pulls at us and that we're more comfortable in because it's older than the new man. Does that make sense? So it's kind of like this. I get a brand new pair of shoes. Maybe you had a favorite pair of shoes. They were kind of worn out, but they were comfortable. You had them broken down, broken in, just like you like them. And then all of a sudden you get these new shoes and they're a little tight. And they don't fit as comfortable as the other ones. And we might have a tendency to want to throw on the old ones, but they might have a hole in them. Something might not be good with them, and so we need to move forward and get comfortable with the new pair of shoes. And that's something like what our relationship with the Lord is. The old man is more comfortable. It's more reasonable to our thinking, and we don't want to lean to our thinking or our understanding, but to God's. And this new man is a little bit different. It takes a little bit more to get used to. And so God is wanting us to understand that it is a moment-by-moment walk with him. Because, listen, we can understand a biblical truth. We can understand how God is our peace, how God is our joy. And is it possible to walk out of these doors and lose our joy? Is it possible to get on the road and somebody cuts you off, right? And then you lose your joy. You get upset. Instead of thinking by the Holy Spirit
that if somebody does something that's aggressive or unkind, why do they do that? The Spirit of God tells us because they're either not in fellowship with God or they don't even know Him at all. So our heart ought to go out to them. But he wants to focus in and look at the life of the disciple or the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he wants us to understand some things about the peace of God in the life of the believer, because that's our testimony. Listen, the world should look at the life of the believer and they should see peace. They should see the joy of God. They should see contentment and fulfillment. Not in the things that are passing away, but in our relationship with the Lord. Why? Because if you're in God's hands, nobody takes you out. Nobody takes you out. And that's where God wants the believer. So let's look at a couple of things tonight, and let's understand a little bit more about this peace with God. And that's important. You can't have it without Him. So verse 1 again says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace, listen, real careful, with God. Amen? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we have peace with God, and the vehicle is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is just the beginning. We can talk about salvation here, and that's important, but then I want you to understand that this peace with God is the beginning of a wonderful relationship that God wants to have with you and I. And then we want to look at here, as we look at verse 2, peace with God that continues in His grace. That's important. Peace with God, that's the work of God in us. Is God wanting to do a work in us? Does God want us to do a work in our strength for Him? And many times, listen, believers are doing good things for the Lord, but in their own strength. And they're missing out God and the strength that God gives us. And again, I just want to remind you of the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. Don't answer this question, all right? Have you, just to yourself, have you ever grown weary in serving God? Don't answer that. Biblically, listen, the Bible encourages us not to grow weary in well-doing, for we shall reap if we faint not. Is that not what the Word of God says? So if the Word of God is saying that to the believer, could it be possibly because we grow weary in serving the Lord? The reason why we would grow weary, now I know in church we can put on the smiles and we can say all the wonderful things and that's good and there's nothing wrong with that, but let's just go where the rubber meets the road. Is that always the case in our life? It's good for us to consider that. Is that always the case in our life? And the truth is, no, it's not. If you want a confession, it's mine, all right? But what is the problem there? The problem comes when I start to reason or rationalize my life with my understanding and with my wisdom, and I miss out on the grace of God. I begin to look at what people ought to be doing and shouldn't be doing it to me, right? I can look at that from every spectrum. I can look at what the world ought to be doing. The world ought to be a kind place. I mean, listen, when you're sitting there on the side of 360 is in my goodness. Listen, in Texas, 360, I think I would take my wife to work early in the morning, and there was almost always an accident on 360. The speed limit was 60 miles an hour. You couldn't go slower than 70 or you'd get run over. And there was always an accident, but they were good. There was, I think, four lanes going each way. And if there was an accident, by the time I dropped my wife off and turned around, that accident was gone. I mean, listen, it was such a bad road, they were always on there. But listen, how about on Highway 363? I'll get that right, 360 and 63. Have you ever been there waiting to get on, and there's only two lanes, right? Two lanes. And everybody's riding in that turning lane, and nobody wants to move over so that you can get on, right? Nobody wants to move over. And you're just sitting there, you say, well, my goodness, what happened to courtesy in this world? Well, wait a minute, even more important than that, where's the grace of God in my life? Where's the grace of God in my life? Now watch this. Look at verse 2. By whom also, listen, we, believers, have access, how? By faith, interchange that word faith with trust, by trust in the Lord. Listen, by faith into this grace wherein we stand, listen, you're already there, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Now listen, think about this thought with me just for a moment. If I'm a saved child of God, am I in the grace of God? Okay, now here's the question. Do we always feel that way? Feel that way. But do our feelings change the truth? They don't. Sometimes, have you ever misunderstood somebody? And then all of a sudden, you understood that you understood it incorrectly. Right? Maybe somebody thought something wrong of you. And then they said, oh my goodness, I thought you meant something else. And I am so sorry, or vice versa, happens in your life because we misunderstand something. Listen, there's no doubt in my mind that when God's people maybe even get mad at God, it's because we have misunderstood something about the Lord. Isn't that the case? Here, I've come to this conclusion. If there's a problem with me and my relationship with the Lord or with the Word of God, it's on my part. There's something I have misunderstood. And you know what? Listen, in a short amount of time, God reveals it to me. Because I'm looking at it from the standpoint of God is right, and there's something I'm not seeing, or something I've overlooked, or something that I have missed. And what I'm saying is, God, I know you're right. My faith and my trust is in your righteousness, and is in your perfection and omniscience, and not in my feeble, finite thinking. And that puts us in the right perspective. So he says, listen, I want you to understand that this peace with God has to continue in God's grace. And we are always in that grace, even though we may not feel like it. But if we'll get up and walk, you know what, Lord? I know what I'm feeling, what I'm experiencing. You've allowed it into my life for my good. Isn't that what Romans 8:28 tells us? All things work together for what? For good to them that love God, who are the called according to his purpose. So that is the grace of God that allows me to see that God is doing some things for my good. Is that what God does? Most things for my good. Or does he do all things for my good? All things, are you sure? Some of you said all. Are you sure? All, even when you don't feel like it, all things work out for our good. And so notice this in verse 3, he says this. And by the way, look at verse 2 again. So by whom also we have access by faith into this grace. That's our access. Believing in the grace of God. Believing in the faithfulness of God. Because he's always faithful. Wherein we stand. And when we're standing there, notice he says, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And you're going to see something here. It's God's glory in us. Fathom that thought. God has chosen, but we've got to see it by faith or by trusting the Lord, in spite of what we feel, that God has purposed to glorify his name. Guess where? In your life and mine. Think, let that soak in. Listen, God is not wanting just to make you feel good. He's wanting to walk in and through your life and mine, that the world might see him, not our effort. That changes everything. In our understanding and in our experience with God. Now watch this. Verse 3. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also. Only if you put your trust or your faith in God's great faithfulness, that he is using that tribulation to root out and to weed out and to allow us to die to ourselves and to see him. And I'm telling you, listen, that's where the excitement comes in, if we will allow God to take us to that place. And how do we do that? By trusting in him. By jumping, taking a leap of faith into his arms. And trusting that he's going to do this. And that tribulation is to cause me to rest in him. Now listen, I've made mention of this in the past. If we are looking for that, we will see that. That's the truth in God's word. Listen, didn't God say, if you seek me, you will what? But the same thing works also. If you don't seek God, guess what you're not going to do? You're not going to find him. So how do we seek God? Through his truths. So here he said, he's made a statement here. He's letting us understand how we can find him. And believe it or not, it's through tribulation. And that, listen, that's the uncomfortable part of our relationship with the Lord. Oh, well, that's just not really. I don't know that I like that. Right? You've heard, right? Don't pray for patience. Praise God. Don't pray for patience, because you know how patience comes. By tribulations. And none of us want that. Do you realize what we're saying? Listen to that truth again. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations. I think there's a misunderstanding on our part. I think we've missed something, because we don't want God to do that in and through our lives. You know why? Because we don't trust the Lord as we should. We're afraid, and we forget that God is our loving God. Not one that's trying to hurt us, but to build us up in Him. So listen to this and think about this. Verse 3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience, notice this, experience, and experience hope. Because when God takes us through those tribulations, we get through on the other side and we go, oh, I understand. And I see that. Praise God and His holiness and His purpose in my life. When we look back at it. Have you ever been through a difficult situation and it was difficult? I mean, trials and tribulations are difficult. But then when you get through it, you look back and you understand to a greater extent what God is doing. Now, I believe this also. There are some things that we will go through that we may not get the answer on this side of eternity. I believe that. But I can still trust my God, can I not? If not, to whom shall we go? Where are we going to go? To the world? To ourselves? Or to the one who holds the words of life? And so verse 4, again, he says, patience, experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because, listen, the love of God, through all of this, the love of God is shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. He's speaking to believers. And so we have to ask God to bring us into this place, not to ask Him necessarily for the tribulations and the trials, but Lord, that I might put my trust in You. Now, we think because we're saved, well, I put my trust in the Lord. Well, yes, for salvation, but how about for everyday life? And how about for every circumstance? And how about when you have to wait? Do you see how important it is to be reliant upon the Lord for His wisdom and understanding, and not to lean to our own understanding, and not to think that these things are bad when it's God that is working these things in and through our lives? I think of Joseph. Many times I think of Joseph. Do you think Joseph said, you know what, I would like my brothers to hate me. Praise God. I would love for them to sell me to the Ishmaelites. I would just love to be the slave for Potiphar and thrown in prison. And then be forgotten by the butler for another 2 years. But don't you know it was the grace of God and the peace of God, because the Bible says that the Lord was with Joseph. Listen, there's no better place to be than for the Lord to be with you and I. We think, oh, I don't want this and I don't want that, and I want this and I want that. Oh, but to have the presence of God in the life of the believer, that's the light of the world. Now, hold your place right here. And I want you to see God's work in us. It continues in the grace of God. And we're seeing this is the grace of God. And I'm telling you, that's what a lot of believers are missing out on. Joseph was able to see by the grace of God, listen, you know, you can be betrayed by people that don't like you, and that doesn't hurt you as bad as it does if it's family. Yeah? Joseph, listen, Joseph was betrayed by his brothers. But what was Joseph's heart? What was Joseph look? Was he thinking, boy, one of these days. May I tell you, he had many of those days that he could have done something. When he was brought into good favor with Potiphar before his wife, I think he probably could have said, you know, I'd like to pay my brothers a visit. And how about this? How about when he became second to Pharaoh? Pharaoh, I'd like to have some of your army. I'd like to pay my brothers a visit. He could have done that, but he didn't, did he? And then what was his heart? Even after Jacob died, the brother said, oh boy. And they said it a couple times. Man, oh man, it's because what we did to our brother. Boy, oh boy, he's going to get us now. Dad's gone. And it broke the heart of Joseph because he said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. That is not in us, but it's in us through Christ. That is the grace of God. And that's what the world needs to see. Where does God want it seen? In your life and mine. We say, oh yeah, that's for the preacher. That's for Joseph. May I tell you something? Everything Paul got, he wanted every believer to have. Everything, listen, everything Paul received of God, all the good things that God had given to him, he said is for your life and mine. Read the scriptures carefully. And you will see he wanted us to have everything. We can't have his position of apostleship. That's not what he... But everything he had in his relationship with the Lord, every believer is intended to have as well. Hold your place right here and go with me just for a moment to the book of Colossians chapter 1. Just for a moment. Colossians chapter 1. And look at verse 24. Now listen to this. Who now rejoice in my sufferings. This is the Apostle Paul. For you. And by the way, listen, with this thought, let me ask you this. He's writing to the believers at Colossae, but is he also writing the Word of God by the Holy Spirit? And is the Word of God intended for you and I as well? All right, so this truth applies for us. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh, for his body's sake, which is the church. So it's to build up the church. Who is the church? You look at the church in the mirror. It's for us. So watch this now. Verse 25, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. For you, notice this, to fulfill the word of God. Did you hear that? For you and I to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hidden, verse 26, from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest, where? To his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, or the world, which is what? Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's just not talking about being sealed with the Holy Spirit. That's talking about the Holy Spirit living in and through our lives to manifest the glory of God. Let me give you a little illustration here. Do you remember the disciples on the road to Emmaus? That the Lord had been crucified and they're walking back to Emmaus. Question, are they happy or sad? They're sad. They don't know the Lord's really resurrected. And then who pops up alongside of them and walk with them and says, hey, what is this conversation? What does this conversation mean that you guys are having as you walk by the way and you guys are sad? Did the Lord see that they were sad? Listen, God is not in the business of saving us to keep us sad. God has saved us, hear this carefully, to give us his joy and his peace. So if that's missing, there is a problem in our relationship with God, and it's not God's problem, it's ours. And so what we need to do is say, God, help me to understand why this is not working. Because God's word is saying that I've come to give you my life, my peace, and my joy. So if that's absent, you've got cause to say, God, I don't understand what's going on. Well, let's just see how this works. So these two disciples are walking and they're sad. And what means this? And they said, well, don't you know? They said that to God. Don't you know? Jesus himself. Now, here's the truth. Now, listen, stop and think about how many times do we do that? Have you forgotten God? I'm over here. And God's never left us. And don't you know? And then he began to open up the scriptures to them from the prophets from the beginning and show them all the things about the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the Bible tells us that he made as if he would have kept on going. And they could have let him go, but man, oh man, they couldn't let him go, could they? That is the difference God makes in the life of the believer. That's the kind of relationship, hear me carefully, Hear the word of God carefully. That is the kind of relationship that God wants you and I to have with him. We cannot let him go. If we can let him go, something's wrong. And so they come in, and he breaks bread with them. And as soon as that happened, they knew who it was, and he vanished out of their sight. And they had walked almost some 6 miles to the road to Emmaus, and they couldn't rest now. They were a little bit excited, and they said, we've got to go back and tell the other disciples. We got to go walk another 6 miles. And I don't know about you, but if I've walked 6 miles, physically speaking, you'd have to do something in my life to make me want to walk it again. And that's what happened in their life. And then they began to say, didn't our hearts burn while he talked with us by the way and opened up the scriptures? Do you see the difference? God has to open up these truths to make the difference. If we're resting and looking to ourselves, we may be a saved child of God, but we will miss the work of God. And that is Christ in us, the hope of glory. Not the hope of us doing something good for God, but the hope of God knowing, listen, that he will do something good through us for his honor and glory. So notice this here. You're right here in the book of Colossians. And again, look at verse 27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect or mature in Jesus Christ. Every man, that's every human being. Does that include just the disciples of Colossae of the day? Or is this of all time? All time. Listen, Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have run a good race. I have fought a good fight. He said, listen, henceforth, because of that, there's a crown laid up for me. But not for me only, but for all them that love the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what the motivating factor is? The love of God in our hearts. If we will love him, the commandments of God will be done through the Holy Spirit, and the commandments of God will not be grievous. We'll enjoy it. Because we'll have. So let me ask you this question, ready? These two disciples on the road to Emmaus, God's opening up the scriptures. Their hearts are burning. Their hearts are burning. Do you think they were thinking about selfish things at that time? Do you think they were thinking about unkind things? Do you think they were thinking about selfish thoughts, or were they enraptured with the very presence of God? That's what the difference God makes in our lives. See, we think that we have to do this all on our lonesome, and that's not the case. God says, I'm with you. And that's where the difference is at. So he says, hey, I want you to understand. Notice this. Watch this. Look at verse 29. In fact, look at verse 28 just for a moment again. Let's put this together. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Do you see? Listen, the Apostle Paul, he's saying it is the work of Christ in me that is working mightily. Has our God changed? If he has, he's only changed in our minds. Not in his. And by the way, do you know how he sees you and I? As a blood-bought child of God. Will his love ever change for you and I? We might think it does because we have failed the Lord, but if we've failed the Lord, it's because our eyes are not on him. Lastly, let's go back to our text here in the book of Romans chapter 5 just for a few more moments. Romans chapter 5. And look at verse 6. And this is the price of God's peace here. Verse 6. Think about that. The price of God's peace. Will you pay it? Would you pay it? Well, I've got news for you. He paid it for us. Amen? Sometimes, oh my goodness, how much is it going to cost me? God's peace. Well, my goodness, there are people that have all the things of this world and have no peace. And they die never experiencing it. Not for the child of God. Look at verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, listen to how God's peace comes. In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Did you hear that? Listen. For when we, that's believers, were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. We were the ungodly, remember? But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. He's not talking about eternal life. He's talking to believers. He's talking about our physical life saved, redeemed by the grace of God to glorify his name now on this side of eternity. Look at that again. Look at verse 10. For when we were the enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Much more, even now, listen, here's what he's saying. He died before you were brought into the family. You are now in the family. Now it's even more important. You see what we're saying? You see what he's saying? It's one thing, listen, God so loved the world, isn't that true? But that's one thing when you're outside, God's love is still innumerable, but God is saying it's even greater when you're part of the family. Because now you're my son or my daughter. So, he says, for when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by your strength, your life, or his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Did you see that? Sometimes we don't believe what God's already done. Remember, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. Help me to see it as it is in your heart and mind, in your understanding, not mine. Because sometimes, believe it or not, I may not feel right. But that doesn't mean that God has changed, does it? Is our God not the same yesterday, today, and forever? Lord, I need you that I might see that truth and walk in that. I'm afraid believers are missing out on the peace of God. Oh, we can do a whole lot of things for the Lord and miss out on the peace of God. And we can walk one way, but inwardly, we're missing out on something that God never intended for the believer to miss. And that is the grace and the peace of God's Holy Spirit guiding our lives to see things as he would have them see, as he would have us to see them. So that when we see people or when we run into a difficulty, oh, God's rooting something out. Let me surrender and let me allow him to crucify the flesh. Let me stop and let me not champion my cause. Let me not try to use my wisdom and to manipulate or finagle something for God. Let me allow him to do the work, because when he does it, I step back and I'm like amazed. If I do it, what do you think about that? Huh? There's no worship or praise there. None at all. We can pat ourselves on the back for God. We've missed them. But if we can be brought to the place where we say, oh God, how great thou art. Now we're experiencing and we're walking in the life and grace and peace that God, and then we become the testimony to the world, because they look at us and they say, they don't have to champion their own cause. They allow what appears to be difficult things in their life, and yet there's something different about them. They have a peace that I've not seen before. And that's Christ in us, the hope of glory. Do you want that? It's yours. It's already been given to you as a child of God. You don't have to have a special prayer session. You don't have to have a special fasting session. All those things are good. But it's already yours through salvation. Just ask God to help you see it and to walk in it and to allow the Lord to walk in us. Would you stand and enjoy the peace of God? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word and your truth, Lord, that brings us to the place of understanding the grace that you've given to us as believers. And Lord, I hope and pray that everybody in here has that testimony. But if not, Lord, that you would even open up hearts and minds to see the need of salvation. Bless the invitation. Bless your people, Lord. And may we call upon you to allow us to enter into the grace and to walk in it, Lord, and you in us, that you might be glorified and that we might experience you in a great and powerful, life-changing way, and that we might be the witnesses you've called us to be. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.